This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com. And you can join their team. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. Talking about the Washington football team's latest loss, they fall to 1-5, losing to the New York Giants. And we're going to open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines right now at 800-636-1067. What frustrates you the most about this team through six games? And I got to tell you, it's that the defense just isn't living up to the hype overall. We're not seeing the pass rush, especially after week one, on a consistent basis. I mean, last week, Jared Goff was sacked one time. Yesterday, Daniel Jones sacked just one time. When you look at the statistics in terms of yards per game, they're one of the better teams in the league, but in points per game, they're at the bottom. It's just not a defense that's living up to the hype. That's what frustrates me the most.
I'd have to agree with that, actually. The defense has really been frustrating. I really hope that we would get more pressure. And frankly, I'm not happy with our play against the run either. I feel like teams can generally run for 4 or 5 yards a pop at will, right up the gut of us, of our Alabama wall. Payne maybe had a good game yesterday. I know that the announcers were jocking him, but it's not good enough for me. So that's been very, very disappointing.
That was just a game yesterday. When you look at the numbers in terms of plays run, yards allowed, third down conversion rate was much better than it has been all year. They were near 50% yesterday. They're about 29% for the year, or coming into the game they were. That's just a game you have to win. You know, when you allow only 240 yards, the turnovers were key, especially that last one, that fumble. That was the difference.
Oh, yeah. You could make the argument that Kyle Allen lost them the game. I can't argue it. But he showed some things that I would like, personally, others have seen enough. I'd like to see a little more. I'd like to see if he could harness that turnover gene. If he can't, it's over. If he can, I think you have something that you can, I think you can win a few football games with him.
And you're going to see him. You're going to see more of him.
Yeah.
Cakes dropped off here on the video. Another thing I wanted to say, it doesn't frustrate me the most, but it's that you draft Antonio Gibson, and he has shown some flashes. Now, he's down to 3.8 yards per carry. Little frustrated that I never see any running back get the ball even 15 times in a game.
Well, because they're hell-bent on this rotation, which is annoying. I actually wish they'd stick with one of the guys. Pick one. I don't care. And then if it's not Gibson, I'm telling you, I keep saying it, I'd put him out wide and run him as a receiver and target him there. Mm. But I agree with you. I'd like to see him carry the ball more, but it's hard. I mean, McKissick has a little explosion to him and has more experience and knows kind of how to navigate that, you know, carrying the ball better than Gibson does.
Well, he's definitely doing a better job. He's at, I think, around 4.3 yards per carry, where Gibson's at 3.8.
Yeah.
So you give McKissick the ball, you're getting better production.
Then if you're not going to give it to Gibson there out of the backfield, then run him out wide.
But every week, it's like they have, like, you know, 9 to 13 carries.
But I personally, you know, if you want to talk about things that you're pleased with, I thought Kyle Allen made some nice throws. I thought, Inman made some big catches. The Logan Thomas catch and throw was an unbelievable sequence for them. Mm-hmm. The Cam Sims catch and throw was
okay.
Big.
There were positive plays, but we're talking about what frustrated you the most in this
particular
segment.
Well, I'm trying
segment.
To be positive because I'm actually a fan, and you just like to poop on the team.
I'm not pooping on it. There's plenty of time to talk about those things. Six games in, what frustrates you the most about this team? You're saying it's the defense.
Well, the frustration is that they're 1-5. Now, they weren't better than those other teams, all right? So they should have lost those games. I mean, obviously, they beat Philly because they dominated that line, especially in the second half. But those other games, they just weren't better. This game, if I was a fan, I'd say, we just had opportunities. We have the ball. Game is tied with 3.5 minutes left. We're driving to possibly win the game with a field goal, and we turn the ball over, give them 6 points, 7 points. And then, of course, at the end, we've talked about it all morning. Are you frustrated with the decision-making with Ron? I would have kicked the extra point there, gone to OT, took my chances. He goes for two. Didn't have a chance. So I think that that's where the frustration lies. A winnable game based on the numbers, and you couldn't get it done.
Now let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Jay's in D.C. on line two. Hey, Jay, you're on with the Junkies. What up?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. What's up, fellas?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, man. It's a lot, man. And the things that frustrate me about the team, I mean, it's this horrible culture, man. And I don't just mean with Ron. It's him, too. The play calling on both sides, you know, as far as, like, the offense. Our offense is real close to the vest. Like, Dan Orlovsky outlined it, and he showed a couple of clips where all of our receivers are most of the times at the same level or in the same area.
Bad spacing.
And that's just play. That's spacing, and that's play design. I saw one pass play where one of our receivers tripped up on the other one. I mean, that's terrible, man. You know, when we had training camp, they came out talking about how great Troy Apke was and what he was showing and this and that. I ain't seen that since none of the games. Yeah. Nothing what they saw. And it takes – y'all was talking about it. I was saying it. Why did it take them 5 freaking games to get him off the field if he wasn't playing? That's just play calling.
Never believe training camp hype. That's my takeaway.
Yeah.
Don't believe it.
But that defensive play calling, it looks just like Jim Haslett, just like the other guy that we just got.
Yeah, you're right there. I had more hope for Jack Del Rio. I had more hope. I was like, this guy's been a proven defensive-minded guy, proven head coach.
And especially galling the 40-yard chunk plays.
Like we give up so many chunk plays.
9 already?
We don't pressure.
6 games?
We got a bunch of allegedly sort of fast pass rushers, and they don't get home. I don't know what our blitz percentage is, but it doesn't seem like we blitz a lot. I don't know, man. That defense is a big
It's almost like they didn't expect Jones on that read option play to go. Like, they weren't even expecting that.
Oh,
now,
that's
Jones
for sure.
Jones is big, and he's white. I get it. But he can run.
I prove that.
He's got wheels.
The kid can run. So if he gets in the open field, he's going to beat a lot of guys. But they just didn't expect it, I don't think. And he was wide open. He said, I got to take this.
Well, they completely faked the camera guy out because we're watching it. And I'm thinking that was a big stuff right there.
Right.
I mean, I was completely faked out on that. Let's go to Tony, line 4. Tony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Jones? It's a couple of things for me. Let me first address what y'all said about defensive line. I said last year in the Redskins group call, Washington Football Team group called home of the WFT, that Matt Ioannidis was our best lineman. Now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing that D-line looks very average without Ioannidis on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Second point is they never throw deep. That's one of the things that just really gets under my skin. I don't care if you complete them or you may get a PI or you may whatever. You have to throw deep at least 3 or 4 times a game. That's one thing that frustrates me. Allen yesterday, you could see the Jalen Ramsey effect. It was a couple times in that game yesterday he had plenty of room to run for the crucial first downs. Twice, I think I saw him not do it and throw a stupid pass. And then at the end, for the game, man, you have to go in there and give your body up and sell out, man. He refused to do it. He could have ran in the end zone.
I don't think he was afraid to.
I don't think he had a chance to get in. There were a couple guys that would have got him.
I don't think he thought he could get there.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I don't think he's afraid.
I think he knew those holes were going to shrink quickly.
I also think that they've gotten into his head a little bit about, you know, picking your spots. But that was a spot, if he thought he could get there, he would obviously do it.
I mean, he had a scramble before the one in which he reached out and he was kind of like spinning around like a helicopter. I mean, I don't think it was a situation where he was afraid to run. He just didn't think he was going to get there.
Yeah. You have to make a split
second. But I don't think he would
have
got there. If you watch the overhead, he was right around like kind of the 10-yard line when he's sprint to the left, and there were a couple of defenders. There were a couple defenders right around the goal line.
He probably would have got him. Probably not.
He had a long, and maybe if he dove, but I think the guy that was guarding the receiver would have stopped him too, because he would have turned around. So, all right, let's go to Ross, line five. Ross, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, Ross.
Yeah, for me, it's the coaching. I got to be honest. I mean, I sat here all afternoon yesterday, and back in the 70s and 80s, before instant replay, you know, you'd waste afternoon and a referee make a bum call with 2 minutes left in the game and you wasted your whole afternoon. So yesterday the coach makes a bum call. I just think with the last drive, they made a great drive. And if they'd have kicked the extra point, it would have erased the mistakes and you had another chance. Joe Gibbs, I think he would have kicked field goal for the percentages.
Extra
point. But anyway, that's my frustration with it. And I just think the coaching's just going to have to – I mean, they brought the whole Carolina crew in, so – I mean, their record the last 2 years wasn't that great, so we'll see what happens, I guess, looking forward. But that's my frustration, fellas.
Yeah,
maybe
thank you,
the
buddy.
The Carolina crew wasn't such a great idea after six games. That's very early. It's very early. Again, it's a long rebuild. Just got to give them some time. Give them some runway.
Give them 3 years.
You
better get them in the playoffs by year three.
By year three, yes.
Oh, he better.
Get to 500 by next year, 500-ish, playoffs by year three.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. If you win one game, two games, you're not getting to the playoffs in 2 years. No way.
I know.
It ain't happening. That's why you got to win gradually.
We thought this year was going to be the year that they were maybe seven or eight
wins.
You
have a high unless you have a high-impact quarterback that if you get lucky
hits the ground running and
right.
is a stud right away.
If you have a high impact quarterback, then you can do it. Obviously, look at
what's
Mahomes.
The Bengals' record. Burrow's playing okay. What's the What's the
one
Bengals'
win.
Record?
One. I think
they got
one
win. I mean, yeah. Justin Herbert's played great. How many wins do they have?
One.
Right.
That's not Herbert's win though. That's Tyrod's win.
Yeah,
that is true.
Right.
That's true.
Right. You
I mean,
know what
put
I was
up
thinking?
Numbers, but you're
again,
right.
This is why you don't assign wins specifically to quarterbacks.
Right.
Because Justin Herbert's played really well in four games, lost all four.
But he's given them a chance.
Certainly.
Right, he gives them a chance, no doubt.
He gives them a chance.
But you know what I was thinking yesterday, Valdez? I swear to God.
What's that?
So when he went for it, and he was going for everything, and that's fine. I thought all the other ones were fine. I actually thought they were standard decisions. The one at the end, not standard, that's when he broke the mold. I wonder if word got out to him that we were calling him Pontoon Ron.
You know what? I thought about that,
I
too.
I swear to God.
Because it's catching,
I swear
it's catching
to God.
On.
Pontoon Ron was becoming kind of a thing on social media. We were talking, and you can say what you want. The show's been around for 25 years. People at the park listen. Everybody hears everything. And I wonder if in the back of his head, if that Pontoon Ron, because
he was
it's inexplicable.
The junks are going to kill me if I just kick
no,
the
No, not
point.
The junks are going to kill me, but not
like,
that.
I got to get back to my old riverboat ways.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
I think on the field he's been pretty consistent with it.
I don't think
timeouts always a gambler. You're always going to gamble.
He's holding on to timeouts. Right. He's not gambling at all at other times.
They're down by 14 or 21 in those games.
Nobody does what he's done multiple times.
I was always a fan of Catamaran, but Pontoon Ron's brand is a lot
Pontoon
higher.
Pontoon Ron was the one that hit.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that didn't get back to him.
All right, let's take a break. We'll take more of your calls.
I swear to God.
AAA Always On Call listener lines are open. What frustrates you most about this Washington football team? Is it the underperforming defense, the quarterback play, the coaching? We'll take your calls next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Football Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, our Washington football team insider Chris Russell joins us. He was at the game yesterday. Then at 9:40, Mark Teixeira joins us to talk about the World Series. You're going to have Dodgers against the Rays. Dodgers came back from a 3-1 deficit and came back to beat the Braves in three straight games to advance to the World Series. Tampa had a big lead on the Astros. The Astros actually forced a Game 7, but then came up short in the end. So it's no Dusty Baker in the World Series with the Astros. It'll be the Rays against the Dodgers. But right now we're talking about the Washington football team. They lose yesterday to the Giants. Went for the two-point conversion at the end. Came up short. So they fall to 1-5. Through six games, what frustrates you the most? I mentioned the defense, and here's the thing. I said it statistically. When you look at the yards per game, and some of it is based on who they've played, I think. I think they're number six right now in terms of yards per game. But they're just not doing enough, like the eye test, right? We expected more of what we saw against Philadelphia, and that's proven to be the outlier game. We're not seeing them wreaking havoc on opposing quarterbacks. It's just not happening.
Yeah, you'd like to see more pressure, no doubt. You want to see more sacks. You want to see more quarterback hits. And I think the most frustrating thing has been the huge chunk plays that they've given up on all levels of the defense. Like, you're not going to win a bunch of games when you're giving up 40-plus yard plays with that sort of regularity. Yeah. It's going to be tough.
I'll be honest. I think it's a theme with our callers. And I 100% agree. I started noticing it, you know, right away, too, with Rivera. But I think it goes to both the offensive and defensive coordinator. I've been disappointed with the coaching. With Rivera sort of all over, like, you know, Barry wrote a great article, if you guys want to read it, on WashingtonPost.com about Ron and kind of how he's been all over the place, how one minute, you know, he's looking to the future and trying to protect the guys, and the next minute he's doing a test, and then the next minute he's going for it. You know, trying to win the division.
I mean, he's just
sort of
the map.
All over the place. Yeah, and then, you know, Scott Turner has not been nearly as innovative, or at least it hasn't worked out that way. They don't stretch the field nearly enough. I thought there would be a lot more innovation. And defensively, Jack Del Rio and that defense been a huge disappointment, as you guys just talked about. So, I mean, I think overall the coaching on all levels has been a big, massive disappointment.
And then that's why you can't buy into stats, because they may be sixth in yards allowed, but where it's points that really matter.
They're middle of the pack in points. I think they're 19th.
Okay, so they're allowing about 27 a game. Now, that's not all on the defense, because offense, you know, obviously turns the ball over and gives them points like they did yesterday, but that's what really counts. How many points are you allowing? How many points are you scoring? And you're right around, you know, 19, 18, 19, whatever they are, and then how many points are you allowing?
I think a stat that they should do is...
Well, we know they're not scoring much.
Correct.
And no one ever highlights it, but how many punts did you force? You know, that's what as a fan, I'm always watching to go, just force a punt. I don't care. Just force a punt or hold them to a field goal. Force a punt. You know, and it just doesn't happen very often. All right. Let's go to line one. Let's go to John in Norfolk. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, great morning, guys. Love the show. Guys, I am most tired of being stuck in what seems to be watching a football version of Groundhog Day. Every single season, it's exactly the same thing. Hopes, yeah. Aspirations, we're rebuilding. I can't think of a more fitting year for a football team that doesn't have a name because it doesn't have an identity. What do the Redskins do well? And I tell you, what hurts the most, I cannot remember the last time that I enjoyed watching a Washington football game on TV. I find myself every week now, after the first quarter, turning, watching another game, and rooting against, let's say, Dallas or Philly, and just hoping that maybe they look almost as bad as we do. Guys, we at this point, I'd say just tank, lose every game, and let's try to find that franchise guy that we can build a team around.
All right, thanks. I hate tanking.
That's my guy. That's my man.
They're not going to tank on. They're not going to tank on purpose, but they may not have another choice.
Yeah, I don't think they have to. They're not doing it on purpose. They're just
and that's fine.
Under-talented, but the problem poorly coached.
Look at all the teams. Don't do it on purpose.
There are 10 teams right now, a third of the league. All right, a little bit less than the third of the league that have one win or no wins.
Right.
Think about that. Through 6 weeks, I don't know if we've seen that in a while.
There's so many bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 teams right now, probably realistically 4 or 5 that are probably saying the same thing. All right,
and there are a bunch of teams that
we're not going to tank on purpose,
yeah.
But we're only so good,
right.
And we're probably going to be in the running for the top three picks.
I still Jets see are in a class by themselves, like that. Nobody's catching them. They're so abysmal; they can't score. Their defense, is going to allow 25 or 30 every week. I just think they're the runaway favorite. Clearly,
but
for the number
here's
one.
The thing.
Actually, I shorted it. There are 11 teams with one or no wins.
Here's the thing. There are still probably 5 games that I think you can, within reason, expect that they can win.
Oh,
within reason. Not
5?
Saying they will win.
Or
within
winnable.
Reason. They're winnable.
Winnable if you don't make mistakes. And the problem
is you can't fumble a ball away for 6. You can't do that. But... Yeah, if you protect the football, you could beat the Giants, you could beat the Lions, you could beat the Bengals. I think you could beat the Panthers. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you got a chance against
you
the Cowboys.
You could beat the Eagles.
You have a chance against the Cowboys, too.
Cowboys, the only thing is it's hard to score as many points as
they're
going to
score. The Cowboys are going to come in and score 28 to 32 points.
It's hard to keep up with them.
Okay,
so it's hard for me to realistically say that.
The Giants just scored 34 against them. You saw that Giants offense put up 13 against Washington.
The Giants offense is better. It just is. It's not markedly better, but it's better.
What, than our offense?
Yes.
I didn't think so. I didn't show it yesterday. I mean,
I
they had
they I mean, slightly.
Daniel Jones threw for 100 yards.
Look, I'm not saying they're
I know,
the Chiefs,
but you have to factor in his runs.
I mean,
he had 75 yards
runs
rushing.
But that's kind of, I mean,
they only
he's their leading rusher
TV.
On their team. Huh?
They only punted twice.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think they're –
I'll give you this.
You just talked about forced punts. They
Eric,
punted
they
twice.
Have an opportunity at winning some of those games. They have an opportunity.
Yes, that's right? What I'm saying. They have a realistic opportunity.
But just based on watching them through 6 weeks, they're so limited to what they can do offensively. Can they get to 23, 24 points?
I don't think you necessarily need 24 to beat the Lions or to beat the Bengals or to beat the Giants or to beat the Eagles or the Panthers.
The Lions are better than you think they are. They've got a quarterback who's been there forever. They've got a legit rookie running back. They've got Peterson as a backup. They've got a legit receiver.
That's fine.
I mean, they went into Jacksonville and just hammered them.
That's fine. I'm not scared of them. I'll never be scared of the Lions.
I know. You're not scared of anybody.
I think the Washington football team legitimately has maybe 3 winnable games left on the slate. The Giants coming out of the bye, mm-hmm. the Bengals, and maybe the Panthers at home.
What about the Eagles?
I don't think they're going to beat the Eagles, as bad as the Eagles are. And even though they've beaten them once, I don't think they're going to sweep the Eagles. They're not going to beat the Steelers, 49ers, or Seahawks in succession.
Well,
I think the Lions are better.
The other thing you can't predict are injuries and towards the end of the season, what teams are playing just to play it out, what teams really need games. So you can't really predict based on just looking at the teams and the dates. Because circumstances are going to change.
Of course. Certainly. That's always the case.
So they may win a game because Bridgewater's out. You know what I mean? So it's hard
to
predict.
But I'm just saying, the Cakes is right. No matter what happens, barring some sort of disaster, you're never going to pick them against the Steelers, the Niners, and the Seahawks. You're just never going to. But there are games there where you can realistically look at that schedule and go, you know what? They have a shot to win that game, a reasonable shot to win those games. And, maybe they lose them all. But they have a reasonable shot, I think, to win 5 games.
Let's go back to the phones. What frustrates you the most? Fran's in Charlotte. Fran, you're on with the Junkies.
Morning, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up, Fran?
Hey, not much. EB, I feel the frustration in your voice, man. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
there with you. And no tanking.
Yeah.
Yep, no tanking. No way.
Right.
So my frustration is just the whole coaching staff, from Rivera to Turner to Del Rio. It's just been disappointing. You know, it's a whole bunch more of the same. You know, what are they teaching these guys? How are they coaching them? The defense coming into the season, there was so much hope. And now each week, it just seems like there's something else different that gets exposed on the defense. What is Del Rio scheming up for these guys to do? What happened to Landon Collins? Man, it's the coaching, man. It's awful.
He's not good. The truth is that Landon Collins is good against the run, but overall, he's not a good safety. That's why the Giants dumped him. They dumped him.
Well, he's not good against the pass.
That might be the first good move Dave Gettleman's ever made.
Well, last I checked, Jason, that's at least half of the game.
He's not good against the pass. Never really was. You know what
right.
I mean? But he's physical. He hadn't really shown it this year, but he's usually a pretty good tackler. So in the right system, the right fit, he's probably much better, but he cannot defend a pass. And he's not
telling
fast.
I said this earlier in the show. During the pregame show, before we jumped on the air, Logan Paulson and I were talking about it, and we were talking about DeShazer's Everett first start at safety, and he thought that DeShazer, based on watching the film, was taking over for Landon Collins because he actually thought, believe it or not, that Apke was playing better than Collins.
That's not
saying Collins
much.
Has been beaten over the top quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know? And then yesterday he couldn't even run him down. Yeah, it's frustrating, man. All right, let's go to line seven. Let's go to Don in Ashburn. Don, what's up, buddy? You on with the Junks?
Hey, good morning, boys. If I remember correctly, last year we beat the Dolphins in similar fashion on a 2-point conversion they tried at the end of the game. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I think you got to put it on the defense because when you go up and down, there's just too many guys on that defense that should be playing better. I think I would put coaching way down at the bottom simply because Bruce Allen just left them with the building on fire, you know, in the corner where all the gasoline's kept for the lawnmowers and crap. It's just they can't do anything with what they have. And I think we do have to give them a good 3 years to really get this thing turned around. There's just no other way.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Here's the thing. I just know as a fan, I am all in for winning five or six games versus winning one. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like that. They'd rather win one and, you know, get one of the top two or three quarterbacks. That's fine. I'd rather win five or six and build from there. I think it's so much, you know, if they win one game, two games, it's so hard.
But what if winning the one game gets you that guy that's the transformational piece?
All right, we could talk in like week 16 and we could say, okay, you know what? It's already over. Yeah. Fine.
Like five years from now, are you going to feel better with those four or five wins if you don't get the piece that you're looking for? You're still stuck in the same spot and not improving?
I just think it's easier to build from five or six wins than it is from one win.
By the way, the caller is accurate that the Dolphins game came down to a 2-point conversion. At the time, Washington was the 0-5 team. Or no, the Dolphins were over, and they gave Washington their first win because Ryan Fitzpatrick, his pass on the 2-point conversion fell incomplete,
right.
And that gave Washington their first win.
Correct.
Right, but that made sense, a little bit more sense.
It's just rare.
Why did it make more sense?
Well, we actually were – no, it wasn't. I bet you they weren't one game out of first place.
Okay, so now we're worrying about the first place again.
Well, the coach even said that was the reason why he was doing everything he was doing.
I know, but I'm just saying.
That belied that.
It's a team going for a dub. They're just going for the dub right there.
Because
they have the ball on the two-yard line.
That was a team that had literally nothing to lose. Even though our record is atrocious, we were still fighting for that.
Eric, I would say this. I would agree with you that it would be good to win four or five games and kind of build on that. If you had the pieces in place, like at quarterback, but when you really need, you're in desperate need of one particular player, one particular position, I would say as a fan, it wouldn't irk me that much to lose games because at least you're going to have the opportunity in the draft to select higher.
It irks me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Would you be afraid, by the way, let's say they end up with the number 2 pick again. Would you be afraid to draft Justin Fields because he's from Ohio State?
like Dwayne Haskins?
I'd think about it. It would be in the back of my mind. It might be in the front, too.
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, everybody says he's the number two rated quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, he's just so much better than Haskins was. He just is. And he
Haskins has had an unbelievable season, though.
I know, but if you watch the games,
he makes better throws.
He can. Yeah, well, he's just a better athlete, and he can actually
he's
get down.
He's definitely a better athlete.
I mean,
here's the question.
I understand he's only played the 1 year, but and there's so much football to be played. Both
is he a bad body language guy? Like, what's his deal?
No,
is he a work ethic guy?
No, yes, he's money.
You know what I mean? Those things are huge.
Coming out of high school, Justin Fields was the number two recruit in the country behind Trevor Lawrence. Haskins was a four-star.
Understood. But why did he leave? He didn't have to leave Georgia. Why couldn't? I mean,
well, because Fromm
one more year behind Fromm. I mean, big deal. He showed no patience.
But the writing
there.
Was on the wall. He might have to wait another.
Maybe
year.
He didn't like the schoolwork at Georgia.
Maybe well, he didn't get like no. the drum by Alabama every
right.
year.
He did get called the N-word.
Well,
remember, and that's why he was able to transfer right
that's
away.
That's true. So I don't blame him there.
Right, but that's not the reason he left. He left because he wasn't the true number one.
He wasn't going to beat Fromm.
Right.
Right, but he arguably could have been better than Fromm, but it was just already set in stone.
Well, he is better than Fromm.
Yeah.
But my point is, my reaction to your point is, yeah, I could see if you had a young quarterback, you know, a Burrow or Herbert type, and you're just kind of trying to develop him, but you're not trying to develop Kyle Allen.
Writing off Kyle Allen world. I'm the only guy, maybe me and Rivera, I'm not writing him off.
You are like the only guy.
Well, his quarterback, his QBR was 71, right? Don't we all agree that's a good QBR? You take that every week.
But he had games last year that were, you had QBRs of 71.
Only two.
Okay.
Only two.
My point is he had games like that. He's a turnover machine.
If
he could fix that one flaw, maybe you can build on it. If not, then you move on. Done.
Why are you giving him more rope than Dwayne?
Dwayne's never had one game as good as that. Look at his game log.
Yeah,
he's
but
never
Dwayne
had...
also, you're giving Kyle Allen all of this rope when Kyle Allen has had years more of experience, right?
Not much more. Kyle Allen's 24 years old.
I understand it's not like he's 30, yeah. but he has a larger body of work. He's been in the league longer.
1 year
You've
longer.
Seen more from Kyle Allen than you ever did from Kyle Allen. He's had far more opportunities.
Slightly more.
So the statistics actually mean more. And you believe that for whatever reason that Kyle Allen is going to be able to break out of this turnover
gene. I'm not saying he will. I'd like to see it. He's shown more flashes to me than Haskins has.
I think he did show more flashes.
He's played 17 games. How many has Dwayne played?
13.
Okay. 11, it's not that 12, much different.
But he has
it's not that
year,
much different.
But he has another year in the system. Like the whole argument against Dwayne Haskins was he doesn't have years in this system. It's a new system.
Agreed.
Well, Kyle's been with the same system the whole time.
Eric, hold on. Yeah. I'm hooking up the lie detector machine to you right now.
Go ahead.
What's the guy's name that comes in?
Robert Smith.
All right. Yep. Lead singer of The Cure comes in and hooks up. We're hooking
Very
up the wires to you right now.
Yes.
Eric.
Yeah.
Do you want Kyle Allen to be the starting quarterback in 2021?
I don't know.
That's not the you can't say that.
True answer. I don't know.
He shows Jason Bishop shows deception.
Right.
Why? I don't know. No, it doesn't. If he plays the next few games and
shows deception on the
If
part
he plays the next few games and continues to keep turning it over, then okay, fine, move on.
I think the machine broke.
No, I don't know yet. I just haven't closed the book on him like all you guys
what you
have.
Know.
He's played
knowing
four
what you
more
know.
Games than Dwayne.
Knowing
Results
what you know.
Inconclusive.
Knowing that there are quarterbacks in college that are going to be better. Knowing that he's a turnover machine. Knowing that what he did last year. Do you want him as your starting quarterback next year? It's a pretty simple question.
I'll answer. No.
I haven't ruled out the possibility
it's impossible
that he could be
to
a
say
starter.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's no way you can picture Kyle Allen being the starting quarterback and having a good team. You can't
I
do
haven't
it.
Ruled out
you can't
the,
do it. Can anybody raise your hand if you can picture a winning team with Kyle Allen?
So you're still willing to give him a chance?
I'm still willing to see he has enough that I want to see a little bit more. And if he keeps just turning it over like he has, then okay, move on. Done. But I've only seen him for two games here.
He passed the question.
What?
He passed the question. Oh, yeah. I don't think he did.
Yeah. All right. I know we got to go to break.
We've got Chris Russell's going to join us at 9. So we'll get back to the Washington football team at 9 o'clock. But we're going to switch gears next. We'll open up the entertainment page, find out what's going on in the Hollywood, the music scene, the latest celebrity scoop. EB's going to fill us in on which celebrity's dad died having sex with his mom. Next on The Fan.
Football Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers.
Our pal Chris Russell is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, Washington football team insider. But right now we open up the entertainment page brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome, super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice, little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia, artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES, you get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
All right, boys. You guys care to guess? If you've Googled it, you already know the answer, so don't do it. But this celebrity says, he's promoting the release of his new memoir, that when his father died, he was actually having sex with his mom. He said, "I got a call from my mom. Your dad died. My knees buckled. I couldn't believe it. But he'd always told me and my brothers, boys, when I go, I'm going to be making love to your mother." And that's what happened.
Wow, he called his shot?
He had a heart attack right at the finish line and donked off.
Wow.
Guys, care to guess? JP knows.
No idea.
Cakes, Lurch.
Is it an actor? No idea. Is it a musician?
It's an actor.
Actor.
Alec Baldwin.
No. Good guess.
Bobby De Niro.
Nope. Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. His father died in 1992. He had a wacky relationship with his wife, though. Kay. They were married 3 times. So it was an on-again, off-again thing. And I guess he donked off in 1992. His mother, though, still alive. She's 88 years old. And apparently, earlier this year, Matthew tried to hook her up with Hugh Grant's widowed father, 91-year-old James Grant.
Really? Look at that.
Tried to make a love connection there, Cakes.
Matthew McConaughey was probably very upset at Ron Rivera going for two instead of kicking the, what our listeners like to call, field goals. Right?
All of them are saying field goal.
That's what Valdez
Don't they know
said.
The difference?
Because he is a Washington football team mark. We all know this. Matt McConaughey, or McConaughey, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. Right.
Don't even get me started, kid.
He and Bickle also want to see Kyle Allen start next year.
Yeah. No, I want to see Kyle Allen start some more games this year so I can make a final decision.
Well,
let me just say this. Kyle Allen, through 17 games, has thrown for 3,900 yards, 21 touchdowns, 17 picks. Mm-hmm. He's got a quarterback.
Throw in the fumbles. You can't disregard
the fumbles.
He's
got 11 fumbles, and he's been sacked 50. That's a big thing. So let's see.
My bad. I did not mean to derail.
Thank you. Thank you, Cakes.
I'm glad you did.
It was
I'm
not intentional. Hey,
I'm just saying. I want to see a little bit more. We can do it later in the next hour, but I want to see a little bit more.
Well, you're going to get a little bit more.
Yeah, and then I haven't decided he's a backup and that's it.
And he should be able to feast this week. I said this a couple weeks ago. Whoever is going to face the Cowboys defense should put up big numbers.
Yeah, I think that he will do okay.
He's not going to feast.
I think he'll do okay.
He should be able to. That's all I'm saying, Jason.
I think he'll do okay. Hopefully he doesn't turn it over. That's
Ezekiel
the
Elliott
try
might,
to protect it.
You're Ezekiel not Elliott face, might feast.
Okay, but you're not going to face a worse defense than the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, so he should have
give
some
up 37 points a game.
Doesn't mean you can take advantage of it if you're limited offensively.
The Giants, who have a worse offense than the Redskins statistically entering yesterday's game in terms of points per game, put up 34 against them.
I'm saying he could sling it a little bit.
I know.
Bit.
I watched the game. I know bit. How many points they put up. How many times are you going to tell me they put up 34?
I'm wearing this one, Valdez. This is my
All right, guys.
My good EP. Yeah.
Hey, can you guys just relax?
It's a football Monday. Come on.
How much to rent an entire movie theater, Cakes?
Today? $5.
Well, no, but I mean, you could legitimately rent it. Legitimately rent an entire movie theater.
$500.
$99.
Yeah,
AMC's, you can go in and they, because they're struggling and no one's. I believe the top movie, I can't remember which one it was $3 million in box office this week.
Whoa.
That was the number one movie at the box office. But yeah, you
How
can.
How many people can you bring for $99?
For $99, you can bring as many as 20 people.
Oh, it's a bargain. That's cheaper than a regular movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, $5 a person. You can have a birthday party for Brendan. He can just rent out an AMC.
You can watch the Tenet again, which stunk.
Well, no, the thing is, for $100, they'll show you the old movies. So you can see, like, Jurassic Park or, like, Shrek.
Gladiator.
If you're willing to pay a little bit more,
yeah,
then you could see some of the more current fare.
First run sillies.
Yes.
Pay some more.
Yes. Right, it looks like the number one movie at the box office was a movie called Honest Thief.
Right. Is that the one that did like $3.4 million or something?
Yeah, it's a Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it looks like a straight-to-DVD movie.
Yeah. It looks like a really bad, like, Taken type.
Right.
Who cares? Those are all awesome.
Poo. Yeah. That's poo.
I did like Nonstop. Which was taken on an airplane, basically.
Guys, there was another jetpack, an alleged jetpack sighting again outside LAX, 6,000 feet in the air, which is perplexing all of the sort of jetpack experts because there's no way that modern jetpacks can get that high and get back down safely.
There's
they don't
a group
have enough
jetpack experts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they know the technology. And they say, first of all, you would hear it. It's not a quiet thing. So the speculation is unless there's some secret, top secret technology that the rest of the world doesn't know about, that it's more likely some sort of drone, some sort of large drone.
Maybe it's Robert Downey Jr. in his Iron Man suit. They couldn't quite identify what it was.
But it's now the second time in 6 weeks that pilots have reported seeing a jetpack flying near LAX. So something's going on out there. Don't know what it is, but something's going on.
Maybe it was Joe Flacco. Yeah.
Because
he is a jet.
He is a jet. Yes. Could be. So your boy, is it Neil deGrasse? He's an astrophysicist, right? You've seen him on TV. He claims, and I guess this is true, they've confirmed it, that an asteroid has a very good chance of hitting Earth I think the day before the election.
Hold on, wait
yes.
A second. How big is said asteroid?
Now, here's the thing. It's
I hope it doesn't hit Pebble Beach.
It's not large enough to, you know, like, end the world, but yeah. It is currently the size of a refrigerator.
Where is it projected to impact?
They don't know, but they're saying it could hit the Earth.
It's the size of a William Perry.
Hopefully it hits FedEx Field. Not while people are in it. Just while it's empty. It's
NASA
anywhere,
has confirmed
FedEx Field,
it's
please.
On a trajectory to possibly hit the U.S. Not only Earth, the U.S.
They're
on
down.
November 2nd. When's the election?
Third.
Yeah.
Well, all you need to do is have a little triangle rocket ship.
Yeah. Shoot the asteroid down.
And shoot the asteroid down.
But it's a difficult game, JP.
It is.
You try to stay in the center as much as possible.
Yeah, but you can actually go from the top to the bottom just like that or left
you
to the right.
You can, but once you start floating around on the screen, it's very difficult to get your bearings back.
Yes.
Does that get you scared at all that a refrigerator could land on your head November 2nd?
Well, if that happens, then I have the worst luck ever.
Don't they predict asteroids hitting the Earth all
well,
the time?
They talk about how near misses, but yeah, they're like a light, near a couple light years
like
away.
3 million miles. Like, ooh, we had a close call. An asteroid came within 3 million miles.
Right, but this one is supposedly like it could hit, you know, asteroids do hit the Earth, and this will be one of those that hit, but it's very small.
It's within 4,000 miles, which is within 2% between the Earth and the Moon. That's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
But we're lucky because it's small.
It's small.
I'll take
75% of the Earth is water.
You're taking
I'll
the
take
field?
The field that it hits water if it lands on Earth.
Yes. That's the smart play.
Right.
See if
you
can
bet
you can
on land.
Can you find that prop somewhere?
Right.
And bet that.
And let me see if I have anything decent for last but not least. Not really. The Beastie Boys licensed a song for an ad for the first time ever, Cakes.
Do you have a poor kicker like the WFT? Sorry. That's kind of rude.
Sabotage has been, licensed for the Joe Biden presidential campaign.
Nice.
First was it time.
It wasn't licensed.
Licensed
for,
to ill, no.
It wasn't licensed for Junk's TV, but we used it for a while. Just
definitely stole it.
That's
paid
true.
Them zero. paid them nothing. No royalties.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, it is our Washington Football Team insider, Chris Russell, the Rooster, on the Fan.
Rooster.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.